We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, Sports Map, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, it's Pharrell on the Bench. What is the deal? I can't keep track of it. They just haven't put it up yet? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, yeah, it's going to go to a full game over Boston now because they make that one up. So the main thing is they're still two ahead of them in the loss column.
All right, fair enough.
It works out.
Seven in a row. Are you surprised that this is happening, that they're just kicking ass and taking names now?
I am surprised, to be quite honest with you. I'm surprised. When we bashed them, and deservedly so, for the first three-plus months of the season, I really didn't think that they would be able to have a run like this in them. But they have found it, and now they have just as good a shot as anybody else to get in the mix and get it done. I still don't completely believe in some of these arms when we get to serious October baseball. But, hey, at least we got a little bit of a ride here now the last 5 weeks of the season and into October.
So I got a question for you. Velasquez, the kid from the Bronx.
Yes.
Playing short now. There is no way, in my mind, that he's 2-for-3 with a triple, two runs, and a stolen base. The guy is on fire.
Yeah.
And all I know is that Glaber's out, right? And so they've been going with this kid every day. What happens when Glaber comes back? Is it automatic that he gets his gig? Because this kid's just playing his ass off, and Glaber Torres struggled the whole season.
Glaber Torres will play short when he comes back.
Automatic.
No doubt in my mind. Now, what can this kid? Now, what can this kid do? Could this kid take Wade's spot as being like, you know, the super utility guy? You know, and Wade's playing now, of course, because Urshela's out, so Wade's getting in there a little bit more. But you know, Wade had that slot before everybody got hurt. Maybe he could overtake that because Wade stinks. He's awful.
He's awful. Don't you think the kid's more exciting than Wade?
100%. I'd rather watch the kid play.
We got a lot going on tonight. Later, Bill Huber from Packer Report. We'll talk about the Packers and Jets. All the best Jets players today got injured and are out for the season. It's Pharrell on the Bench. Pharrell and Evans with Garver High. Neibel against Walker tonight at the Ravine in La 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 Lipstick City at Dodger Stadium. They're underway in the first. And what did the Mets finally win a game? When was that? Was it last night that they finally won a game against
yesterday,
the Giants, right?
Yesterday afternoon, yes.
So this is their first win since the Civil War.
Well, in this big 13-game stretch that they have against the Dodgers and the Giants, it was their first win. They're now 1-5 so far in this endeavor that they're on.
Now they're at Dodger Stadium for the weekend, right? Three more? Or four more?
Four. So four games, yeah. Four games with the Dodgers Thursday through Sunday. Off Monday, and then three at Citi Field against the Giants Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I just don't see how any of that goes well. Although, I mean, it's not like they played terrible at the Giants at Oracle, but, you know, they did win the last game in extra innings. But the other games were close too, right? And the Giants just squeaked them out. And I think the one game that Bryant didn't play is the one they lost, right? I mean, Bryant was out yesterday afternoon.
Yeah, Ryan did not play.
Oh, there you go. So do you think that today on Coast to Coast, I suggested that Cohen, the owner of the Mets, is, you know, a little bit like Steinbrenner in the sense that he wants to be, got the team. He said, we're going to compete with the best teams in baseball. We're going to spend the most, blah, blah, blah. And then, so he gets control of the team. And now he's running the team, and they start playing terrible baseball. And then he finally calls him out and says, you suck. It's unbelievable that these are professional hitters. The numbers don't lie. None of them can hit. We're terrible. These guys get paid a lot of money, and they just aren't performing. And then the Mets proceeded to go out and win a game right after he said these things. And he's right about one thing. They have sucked terribly forever, for a while, like a long stretch of futility. And then he starts ripping them, and then they go out and win. But today I said on the show, look, this guy reminds me of Steinbrenner in the sense that when you're that rich and you think you're like Mr. All In, and I'm like, I'm in charge now, and I'm running this puppy. He didn't hire Rojas. I think that that guy's job's in jeopardy. Do you?
Yeah, I was stunned that he actually was even going to be the manager this year. That was kind of surprising to me. I thought when he came in, he just would have did a complete house cleaning. They don't make the playoffs this year, he'll definitely be out. He'll be bye-bye.
And then what happens to him? Does he ever manage again?
Probably not.
Probably not. That's unbelievable.
Sometimes you get one shot. You better make it right.
You got one shot and don't screw it up.
That's it.
Do you think that I'm sitting here watching Alonso get beaned yesterday in San Francisco right on the elbow? And, you know, I guess I understand why he's in such pain, but I really don't at the end of the day, based on the fact that he wears 17 pounds of plastic on his arm. You know what I mean? He's got like the full soccer shin pads going on his elbows. I mean, a guy's arm, who used to do that? Bonds used to have that armor on his arm. Remember when he'd come to the plate, he'd have that whole contraption going?
Bonds used to have probably double what Alonso has. I mean, double, especially on the left side because he was a left-handed hitter. He'd get it on his right elbow facing out. He would just have, you would have thought he was Iron Man.
Right. Do you think just bringing him up gets me going? I mean, that was instantaneous. That was like, I mean, the light just went on. I mean, the bat cave, the door just opened. You just let the cat out of the bag. Have you ever seen anyone turn on a fastball like Barry Bonds? I don't care how many drugs he did. I don't care if he's high right now. All I know is that guy, from the day he came up, and he was a, you know, automatic. I think he started out, he was like a 30-30 guy, right? And then he got it up to 40-40 and the whole deal. Do you know anyone? Did you ever see anyone turn on fastballs better than that guy? Seriously.
Definitely one of the best that I've seen, especially when you talk about if you tried to pump him inside and how fast he could get around on it from that side of the plate. No joke. And I know that everybody, you know, spits him because of what he did and taking all the juice and all that stuff. But the dude was a legit player. Legit.
And I won't deny that he, you know, like everyone else, they all deny it till they're blue in the face. But everyone knows he did it. And that's just all there is to it. But at the same time, at the beginning of his career, when he played in Pittsburgh, when he came out of Arizona State, he wasn't juicing. He was just a skinny athlete. That's what he was. You know, he was green. He was, you know, just going out there and playing his ass off and hauling ass and running and hitting and making catches in the outfield. He really was unbelievable. And then it turned into what it turned into in the end. And no one really, at the end, they were fascinated by him. They were caught up in his home run chase. And then when he did it, everyone, you know, they followed it and they talked about it and they showed it. And it was gigantic news at the time, right? But no one was happy that he did it, right? And, you know, whether you like it or not, he did it. And no one respects him for the way he went about getting it done. And how those numbers soared in the years that he juiced. So I won't deny that. But what I want to know is, like, for when we come back, I want you to tell me, because I know we're short on time. I want to, like, I've been watching this Alex Rodriguez guy, right? Doing all of his Hollywood BS. I mean, this guy is just feta cheese. I mean, I don't care what anybody says. Like, he, you know, just everything he's involved in. Now, I'm not going to argue that he's got money. I'm not going to argue that he just bought the T-Wolves and the Lynx with his business partners. That's all fine and dandy. I don't care. But the reaction of this guy with, you know, the dating and this, you know, game he's playing, it would appear to me with J-Lo, where it's like this competition, you know, who can outdo the other? Who can have the bigger yacht? Who can have the better boyfriend, girlfriend? Who can have the better place in the Hamptons? You know, everything about it is so ridiculous. But the thing that I want to ask you about is when he was playing for the Yankees and he got busted and then he came back, right? Because they owed him so much G-damn money that they brought him back, right? When it was over. And then he spent the entire time lying through his teeth. Do you remember when, how can you forget? You worked at the Fan. And this guy would come in and do Fat Cessa's show, and he would go on the air and lie through his teeth like no human being ever. I mean, he's like the greatest liar of all time. So which guy is the bigger villain? Buns or Alex Rodriguez? It's Pharrell on the Bench. All right, Pharrell on the Bench. So we were talking about it because one thing led to another. We're talking about the armor on Alonzo's arm when he's batting and he wears all this stuff. And then I thought of Bonds, and then I've never seen anything like it. Like when he played, I mean, it was just so unbelievable. It really was watching him. So I covered him his entire career in Pittsburgh. And then I covered him in San Francisco as well. When he moved to the Giants, I was there. I moved to San Francisco. I was on the home of the Giants, KMBR. And I did Sports Channel America. I did a nationally syndicated TV show on top of the radio show that was local in the Bay. And it was huge. The shows were huge. And they were in every major market, the TV side on Sports Channel across the country in every major city, Chicago, New York, Philly, Miami, you name it. And we were always talking about Barry Bonds. I mean, Barry Bonds, what he did with the Giants at that time, it just took off like nobody's business, and he just went on a tear like unequaled. And I've always told you on this show, you know, Carver High, what I think of him. Like, A, he's the biggest jerk I ever met in my life, bar none, not even close. Like, he's number one. I'd put his dad in there too, top 10. His dad was a jerk too. So like father, like son. They both hated, they vilified the media, just hated them. And then what a phony he is. I hope he's listening right now. You're such a phony, dude. You're a loser, because there's nothing worse than someone that, in my opinion, that treats people like crap, like the media. And then when they're done playing, they suddenly become nice to everybody. And then he's smiling. He's the nicest guy in town. He's giving. He's loving. He's caring. He's doing charities. Like, who are you kidding? It's like this Tortorella guy. I cannot stand this guy. He makes me sick to my stomach. My skin crawls. Every time you even mention his name, I want to beat the living shack out of him. I mean, I'm not even kidding. I cannot stand that guy more than any human being on earth. But Bonds was 10 times worse than Tortorella. And at the same time, you've heard me say there was no one I liked watching play more than Barry Bonds. When he was playing, I mean, just when the game was happening and in between the lines and for nine innings every night, watching that guy get five at-bats was just, I mean, theater of the highest order. Like, when that guy came to the plate, I mean, the whole place shut down. I mean, and he took his cuts like no other. I mean, that guy came in and, you know, not only that, he had such a great eye, Carver High, and would walk all the time. Like, one of the greatest on base. The guy would get on base more than anybody ever, right? Whether it was a hit, a home run, or a walk, he was always on base. And no one would pitch to him. They were scared to death of him. I have never seen anyone more fearsome at the plate in my life. And I respected his ability and his talents and his home run power and his stroke and his quick, you know, eye hand and his ability to turn on a pitch and knock it out. I mean, just bombs out of ballparks, just absolute bombs. I've never seen anything like it. So tell me, when you were at the Fan, all that was happening with Alex Rodriguez. I was at, I was still at Howard Stern, wasn't I, when all that was happening? And he was coming to the Fan?
I'm pretty sure, yeah. I think that it just missed each other by within a year and a half, probably, when that all happened.
So what was it like at the Fan working there? And you were working, unless I'm crazy, weren't you working for Fatso at that point and, like, producing a show? And that guy was coming in and putting on his lying face?
I mean, I was kind of just a fill-in at that time. You know, when his main guy would be out, I would work on his show. So I wasn't doing his show any of those days. I was doing my regular night spot. So there was obviously a bit of commotion around the station that day when he slipped in through that. You remember how there was, like, that little side elevator? Not the main elevator everybody used. It was, like, that little side elevator, like, in between the glass over there. They brought him up through that, ushered him in. He didn't come in the front door of the building. He went through that side with the garage over there. So they got him in and out pretty quick. Yeah, I think at that time, you're talking about peak, like, hatred for A-Rod. Was when he was running around denying everything and wanting to, you know, do legal action and all that. I think if you would have asked me then, I would have said he would absolutely be the most hated guy ever from the steroid era. But, you know, as time has gone by, everybody loves this dude again now. I mean, not everybody. There's still some people that hate him. But
yeah, not everybody.
I mean, this dude's on Sunday Night Baseball. This dude's on Fox. This dude's in commercial. I mean, this guy is, like, you talk about a complete 180 from where he was after he got suspended the year and a half for steroids to where he is now. Just an incredible, incredible public turnaround for Alex Rodriguez. So much so that I would not put it past if in his eighth, ninth, or tenth year sitting on that ballot that he's the first guy they put in from this group of steroid people. That's how much good faith he's garnered throughout the game. Now, but here's the thing. That's the public. The people that put the guys in the Hall of Fame, they're as crusty as ever, and they never forget anything. So that probably won't help them. And if Clemens and Bonds haven't gotten in, and this will be their last year, I believe, on those ballots coming up, if they haven't, A-Rod will probably join them on that pile. But
they didn't hit 70%. They were at, like, 69%, right?
Low six. I think mid to low 60s. I don't think that they've gotten any higher than that. But we'll see anyway, if they let him in their last year.
Let me ask you. So, first of all, the guy is, you know, now I don't know anymore because I really don't care.
Right.
I just don't have time to, like, sit around watching, you know, everything. Like, what you're saying, is he still doing the games on Fox, studio gig on Fox?
Well, I think for the big events, like obviously in the playoffs, he does studio for Fox, for the All-Star game, for the Field of Dreams game, like for major events, he's on Fox. Like, he's not doing every Saturday on Fox because he's doing Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN.
So he would do, like, Did he do the Field of Dreams? Was he on that broadcast?
Yeah, he was out there. Yeah, he was on the Fox broadcast. He was not like, you know, obviously Smoltz studio. And Smoltz and Buck were calling the game, but he was part of the studio crew, yeah.
Right. All right.
They
so,
did some dopey thing where him and Ortiz went out in the corn. You know, they always have those two guys. They put those two guys together, you know, for everything.
So let me ask you this question. You know, there's been people lately that have been bashing his work on Sunday Night Baseball, saying that he's terrible and he stammers and he's stumbling all over the place and he's just not good at it. Have you heard that? Because I've heard that now over and over. I just recently, you know, I heard this recent tirade by some former player that said, he cringes when he's on.
Yeah, but that, you know, the former players are jealous now of A-Rod. They don't like that A-Rod has rebounded in the court of public opinion. They don't like it because most of them hated A-Rod when he played because he was such a, you know, such a clown. So that's kind of where all that's from. Have I heard A-Rod on Sunday Night Baseball a lot? No, I haven't. Let's be fair. Unless it's the Yankees are playing, it's very hard. Or I got some kind of a decent bet on the game. It's very hard to pull me into that Sunday night broadcast. I mean, by the time 7 o'clock Sunday night rolls around, I mean, I'm fried on a Sunday. I've probably been playing golf all day. I mean, we got all sorts of things happening. I'm not tuned into A-Rod and Matty V, you know, on Sunday nights.
Yeah. So like, you know, the kids and you know, you got the family, you got the, you know, wife, you got to deal with all that.
You got to cut it out at some point. You got to turn it down at some point. And usually Sunday nights is when that happens, unless the Yankees are playing. I mean, when we're not in football season. In football season, yeah, I mean, it's pillar to post. It's all day.
Okay, but let's analyze this for a second. So he's doing, he bought, like, didn't he buy Presidente beer or something? I think he did.
I didn't even know he was involved in that, did he?
Okay, well, he bought it. He owns that, too, on top of the Lynx and the Timberwolves. He bought Presidente beer, and he's doing he's doing all their ads, too, so you don't see him, but down in Miami and in, you know, Presidente's huge in Miami, right?
Massive.
That's like their beer down there. And I used to go to the Canes games with Haro and just get shack-faced on Presidente's. I mean, they'd have to roll me out of the car into the condo when I'd go to a game. I'd drink 50 beers. And it was 100 degrees too. You know, you're just sweating ass and everybody reeks and you're just pounding Presidentes. Your boy A-Rod bought that. He bought that company. Anyway, he's, you know, Mr. Entrepreneur. He's got a piece of everything. He's doing TV shows where I don't know if you've ever seen him. He's over there giving people financial and business, you know, entrepreneur advice, business
Shark
advice.
Tank.
He does like shows like that. I don't know what shows because I don't care about him. I just know about him, right? I know he does these things. We're talking bad about A-Rod, and it'll continue. So, throwing a bench with Carver Hyde. So, he's got all these investments. He's got all these, he owns teams, beer companies. He's on Fox. He's on ESPN. Half the people hate him. Former players are jealous of him, according to you. Certainly, people aren't afraid to say bad things about him. He's on, TV a lot, not just doing games. I'm talking about like you'll be flipping through the channels. They'll see Entertainment Tonight or, you know, extra Hollywood shows. They put him on there. I saw that guy interviewing him the other night, Kevin, whatever his name is, the brother that does all those Hollywood shows. You know who I'm talking about? Anyway, and you know, once in a while, they'll have that guy on ESPN or something. They'll bring him in when everyone has the flu or something. The guy does everything. He's like Mr. Hollywood. He sucks up to celebrities. Anyway, I see him on there, and he's just so, like, showing his house, his mansion, showing all his memorabilia, laughing, smiling, you know. The pr- pretty boy. He's like the whole phony act he's got going. And I mean, like, he's the nicest guy in the world. He comes across as like this. He's Santa Claus. He's so nice, right? Meanwhile, everyone in New York knows he's evil. Everyone. Don't even tell me they don't. There's not a old ladies know he's a liar. I mean, is there one cabbie, one guy running a falafel stand, one guy running a hot dog stand, one guy running a bar? Is there a cop? Is there a fireman? Is there a school teacher? Is there a politician? Is there a Catholic priest? Even Cardinal Dolan knows he's a piece of shack. Am I wrong, Carver? You know it's true. Everyone in New York knows he's a lying piece of shack.
I think everybody in New York knows he's a lying piece of shack, but I think that half the people like don't care anymore, and they just think that he's they gravitate to him.
All right, so the question begs. Here it is. The $60 million question. Was it a $60,000 question before?
That was the show. Yes.
$60,000
question.
All right, so who's a worse person, Barry Bonds or Alex Rodriguez? You are the final straw, Carver High. You are the straw that stirs the drink.
You see,
even in your hands, you are the final. You are the judge.
All right, but here's the thing. We know so much more about A-Rod and his personal life. Like, we know a lot about A-Rod. Divorce, him with the dancers outside the club in Toronto, him with this girl, him with, like people know, and his business ventures. We know so much more about him, the lying. I feel like with Bonds, like, you know that he cheated, but do you know a lot of, you know that he's a D to the media. Do you know a lot much else about Bonds? Like, really, I mean, maybe a little bit, maybe a generation before me, because they saw him a little bit more like you when he was, younger in Pittsburgh and his early days in San Francisco, but you don't know as much, and he played in a different time. He didn't play in this time now where every single thing that a person does, if you're a major star, is completely scrutinized over several social media networks. I mean, Bonds didn't play in that. So we know so much more at things to make A-Rod a bigger D. You know, it's like we just know so much more about his life. It's probably
A-Rod. You're giving it to A-Rod. You're just moving it right over to A-Rod.
Yeah, I am.
Oh,
I like A-Rod, but he's the bigger D. I like him.
Oh, so you like him?
Oh, I do. I'll never say a bad word about him.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Why is that?
I think he's
Why
hilarious.
Why do you like him so much?
There's part of me that like just doesn't think it could possibly be real, like his whole entire act. Like, it's just some of the stuff that he says, like he's like this baseball nerd and he bangs all these unbelievable women, and he does like there's so many interesting things about A-Rod. He's a fascinating individual. He really is.
Fascinating individual.
Like, there's nothing fascinating about Bonds. Like, the great home run hitter, cheated, D. Like, that's it. Like, we have so many stories and other things that you can dive into with A-Rod. It's so much more interesting.
Are you surprised that one of them is so successful and so enormous and becomes such a personality and a business entrepreneur and a billionaire, and the other one's a mystery? And he's like riding a bicycle with a helmet on, like he's on the French bicycling team.
But part of that was his own doing. He was surly and didn't want to talk to anybody and didn't want anybody to know anything about him. So that's what you get. Now nobody cares about you anymore. You're done. Finished.
So finished forever. And so you think in the last year that he goes into voting for the hall, he's going to fall short again?
Those people that do that voting, most of them are they're slime. So I'm going to say that they're not going to put him in He belongs in. Bonds and Clemens belong in the Hall of Fame. So does A-Rod. They all belong in the Hall of Fame. And these holier-than-thou writers are not going to put them in. So I hope I hope that the dopey veterans committees, 15 years from now, I hope they have the stones to at least put the both of them in, considering they put, Bud Selig and Tony La Russa in, guys who enabled all the steroid users. I hope that they at least have the stones to put Bonds and Clemens in then. Their dopey veterans committees.
Do you think Bill Madden would let Bonds or A-Rod in?
No. Bill's a hard-nosed old baseball guy. He would never do such a thing. Never.
I used to party with him. He used to...
Bill's a great...
He would never admit he likes me. He's an
all-time
cool dude.
Baseball guy, legendary writer in New York, baseball writer, all that stuff. But the older, and those are the guys who really will never let it happen. The older baseball curmudgeon writer will absolutely never allow any of these guys in. But they put Bud Rodriguez in. But they put Mike Piazza in. So
he used to go out every I used to work with him in TV or whatever. And then I lived in his neighborhood for a while, and I haven't seen him in a long time because I think he moved to Florida, right, and retired down there. He still writes for the Daily News, but he does it all, I think, from Florida. But he used to go out with his wife. She was a really cool lady, and they used to go out, all the time on dates, right? So he would do the show Friday at SNY with me, Daily News Live. And he was appalled by my existence. He wanted nothing to do with me on television. And then once he figured out that I lived in his neighborhood and he'd see me walking my dog, and I would let my dog Cable on his yard, and then I'd wave at him. He'd be out there up on the front step giving me the business. And I'd be letting my dog Cable in his yard. And then I'd see him out in restaurants. And so, I go out a lot and eat. And I saw him a couple times, right, out at this spot I go to. And once he saw me out having a good time, and then when I, hit it off with his wife, and my wife hit it off with his wife, then he loosened up to me and he started enjoying me. And then we, over a couple year period, I became friends with him. We got along great. I'd always see him at this place and he'd always be there with his big old bottle of wine. It was like a BYOB place, right? And he would bring a big old bottle of wine and he'd be there with his wife and they would just be partying, eating dinner and drinking and just having a good time. And, it was what it was, but I don't know. I doubt he'd let either one of them in. I mean, he's so hardcore and old school. I don't think he'd let him in. I think you're right. But it's amazing to me. It is beyond amazing to me that, I cheese out at some of the stuff he does. He breaks up with J-Lo, and then he gets some hot chick. He starts dating just to, rub it in her face.
That's the stuff that's great about him. It's just, it's unbelievable. What is this dude doing? I think it's fascinating. That's the stuff that's fascinating about it. It really is.
Did you see the yacht he rented on his vacation?
Right. There's absolutely no reason for anybody to know about that. But it's A-Rod.
He was in Saint-Tropez, right? And he had a yacht the size of Manhattan with a slide going off of it. And he was just showing off his money. Look, just having that, a whale of a time. He's like, he's had so much fun.
He's probably one of the, in real life, if you actually grab that dude and got him at a bar somewhere, nobody near you, you're the only two people in there, and you just had a couple of beers with him. You'd probably find out that everything that you see, 98% of the facade of A-Rod is just total horse shack. He's probably the phoniest dude going. All the stuff that he does out here. But,
you know? Think?
Yeah. But it's all
Yeah, that's why he's such a lightning rod. Even though he hasn't played in years, he still generates interest, and he's a lightning rod. And I cannot believe that the dude is on Sunday Night Baseball on ESPN after all the hatred. This guy is on the biggest game, quote-unquote, you know, on television every week. It's just, it boggles my mind.
Well, and then I see him doing, like I said before, I see him doing shows where he's giving people, you know, business advice and like.
I know, he's this huge entrepreneur. Like, I watched him on Shark Tank a couple times. I was like, this is just insane. And now he owns an NBA team. I mean, honestly, what are we doing here? Guy's like just saying, look at how much money I have. That's pretty much all that he's trying to do.
Right. Well, he has so much money, but do you really believe that he's like? Because I believe he's just a stupid baseball player. But do you believe he's actually this, entrepreneur and savvy businessman?
It's all part of the facade. Like, this dude, for his entire life, slept the whole deal baseball. Like, that was it. Like, this guy goes home when he's not playing and he's watching baseball games when he was a player in the league. There's right. no way that he was. Sharpening his tools to become some great entrepreneur.
Studying the stock market and
trust me, there's a couple people behind the scenes with him who are dragging him through that. All right. They're getting him through all that stuff. And he's just giving you the big smile on the front end of it. Buying the Timberwolves. I mean, you gotta be kidding me. Dude owns the Timberwolves.
Can you imagine that he owns the NBA teams in Minnesota in the middle of Siberia? Can you believe it? I mean, you can't even make this stuff up. Of all teams that he buys, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Lynx. I've seen it all. It's Pharrell on a bench. All right, Pharrell on the bench with Carver High, and having a brutal time here tonight, Carver High, with my Wi-Fi or something. I cannot make anything work in the Pharrell Palatial this evening.
Really?
Someone's cut the lines or something. I can't send damn pics. I can't do anything. Nothing will work. I'm in the studio. I got Wi-Fi in here. I got Wi-Fi upstairs. Neither one of them work. They're both shut down, and I can't do a effing thing. And I'm starting to lose my temper. Jesus.
Yeah, you can't have that.
Oh my God, it's just torture. I'm just trying to do my job, and I can't even do it. Driving me nuts. I don't have time for this. I mean, it's just like unbelievable. What a pain in my ass. So the Dodgers are up 2-0 on the Mets already in the bottom of the third at Chavez Ravine. That's all happening as we speak. I got my eyes on all this. Later, Bill Huber talking about the Packers on the show in hour number two. I will tell you, in terms of most of the games were today that kind of mattered, right? The Cardinals are up on the Brewers 8-4, bottom eight. Everything else is done. Reds beat the Marlins 6-1. Diamondbacks over the Phillies 6-2. What a disastrous road trip for the Phillies. Does that finish them off? I mean, they can't get out of their own way. They're embarrassing. A's beat the White Sox. Astros in 10 over the Royals. They finally beat them. Mariners in 11 over the Rangers. Rays 7-2 over the O's. Angels came back from down 10-2 to win 13-10 over the Tigers. The Yankees won tonight 7-5. How about the Eagles tonight? They got bent over. We'll talk about it next on a bench.